नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम थर्ड कैंटो चैप्टर 21 द कॉन्वर्सेशन बिटवीन मनु एंड कर्दमा टेक्स्ट 33 मैत्रेय उवाच एवं तम अनुबस्यता एवं तम अनुबास्यता भगवान प्रत्याग अक्षजा भगवान प्रत्याग अक्षजा जागमा बिंदु सरसा जागमा बिंदु सरसा सरस्वत्य परिश्रिता सरस्वत्य परिश्रिता एवं तम अनुभास्यत्या एवं तम अनुभास्यता भगवान प्रत्याग अक्षजा भगवान प्रत्याग अक्षजा जागमा बिंदु सरसा जागमा बिंदु सरसा सरस्वत्य परिश्रितात् सरस्वत्य परिश्रितात् Maitreya Vacha, the great sage Maitreya said, Evam, thus, tam, to him, Anubhasya, having spoken, Atha, then, Bhagavan, the Lord, Pratyak, directly, Aksha, by senses, Ja, who is perceived, Jagama, Penteve, Bindu Sarasa, from Lake Bindu Sarovara, Sarasvatya, by the river Sarasvati, Parisritat, encircled. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Maitreya went on. Thus, having spoken to Kardama Muni, the Lord who revealed himself only when the senses are in Krishna consciousness, departed from that lake called Bindu Sarovara, which was encircled by river Saraswati. So we'll repeat the translation. Maitreya went on.
Maitreya went on.
Thus, having spoken to Kardama Muni,
The Lord, who reveals himself
only when the senses are in Krishna consciousness, departed from that lake called Bindu Sarovara, which was encircled by the river Saraswati. So we'll read Srila Prabhupada's purport. To understand better, it's just a small purport, so all of you be attentive. We'll see what Srila Prabhupada says. One word in this verse is very significant. The Lord is stated here to be Pratyag Aksaja. He is imperceptible to material senses, but still he can be seen. This appears to be contradictory. We have material senses, but how can we see the Supreme Lord? He is called Adokshaja, which means that he cannot be seen by the material senses. Adokshaja means knowledge perceived by material senses. Because the Lord is not an object that can be understood by speculation with our material senses, he is also called Ajita. He will conquer, but no one can conquer him. What does it mean? Then, that still he can be seen. It is explained that no one can hear the transcendental name of Krishna. No one can understand his transcendental form, and no one can assimilate his transcendental pastimes. It is not possible. Then how is it possible that he can be seen and understood? When one is trained in devotional service and renders service unto him, gradually one's senses are purified of material contamination. When one's senses are thus purified, then one can see, one can understand, one can hear, and so on. The purification of the material senses and perception of the transcendental form, name, and quality of Krishna are combined together in one word, Pratyagakshaja, which is used here. So Pratyagakshaja means he cannot be seen by the material senses. Lord cannot be seen by the material senses. Okay, we'll see further. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitamena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Svapadanti Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, in this purport, he is asking a question and he is also answering. Right? So the Lord is completely transcendental. Right? He is beyond the three modes of material nature. Right? That's the first thing we have to understand. Sometimes we come and stand there, oh, it's almost equal to me. He is beyond the three modes of material existence. Right? That's the first point to understand. Now, whatever you see with your beautiful eyes in this world is nothing but matter. Do all of you realize that? Anyone see any spiritual objects at this point in time? No. Correct? So whatever you see is three modes of material nature, including this temple, including all the deities. Because this is made up of brass, it's made up of stone, and Jagannath is made up of wood. That's also three modes, isn't it? It's one of the components. Then why do we worship brass, stone, and wood? Krishna explains that in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Oh, this is very tricky. Bhaktyamam abhijaneti. Only through devotional service, through Krishna, you can understand him. Why? Because he's completely transcendental, beyond the three modes. There is not even one or 0.0% of materialism or material thing in Krishna. I'm perfectly, he's complete, he's a perfect person, completely spiritual. Not even a tinge of matter in Krishna. This is a transcendental personality we are dealing with. Right? So what happens? You have to serve Krishna through devotional service. Right? Krishna says also in Bhagavad Gita that I am neutral to everyone. Right? He's neutral. And in the 14th chapter, the Lord is saying, the living entities thus enjoys his way of life, associating with the three modes and meets with the good and the evil. Right? Say for example, we don't know Krishna for a minute. So what we do, we go for work, we have a family. Right? We go for work, we drive our nice car, put petrol, go to the movie, coffee bar, all we are doing. Now, that is not related to devotion service. That's it. Krishna is aloof. You will not understand him. Life continues. Man, no worries. Life continues. Right? So what did Krishna say? The living entity thus enjoys his way of life, associating with the three modes and meets with the good and the evil. So what is that good and the evil? In the material world, whatever you do, you take responsibility. And Krishna has employed, out of his kindness, 33 million demigods to manage all of us. He knows what kind of people we are. We need 33 million demigods to manage us, right? Because we know how cheaters we are. Everywhere, you know, there are witnesses for Krishna, including the Lord as Paramatma within everyone's heart. But we don't realize. The Lord is present as Paramatma in everyone's heart. And from him comes remembrance, forgetfulness and intelligence. Now this remembrance and forgetfulness, remembrance and intelligence is for devotees. Forgetfulness is for non-devotees. So, if you enjoy your life as you want, whatever you want, then Lord is aloof, is neutral, and he gives you forgetfulness. Right? But, the moment a tiny, insignificant soul, because we are tiny only, there's so many people out there, one tiny, insignificant soul comes and offers Radha Ballabha, you know, Dandavats, and starts, you know, thinking, oh, you are a Lord, I will do something for you. Small service. We should not be puffed up. You know? Tiny, insignificant soul can only do tiny service. Right? And tiny, insignificant soul can enjoy only in a tiny, insignificant way. But the tiny, insignificant soul, if it serves the supremely unlimited, he can enjoy in a supremely unlimited way. That senses are given for the living entity. So if you drink coffee, whatever, smoking, drinking, you can enjoy in a very tiny, tiny, insignificant way for which there is a karma you have to suffer. Because that's how the material world works. But the same tiny, insignificant soul, if it serves the Supreme Bhagavan, he gets enjoyment unlimitedly. It never stops. Material happiness has got a beginning and an end. Any material enjoyment, doesn't matter, X, Y, Z, right? It's got a beginning and an end. But devotional service is unlimited. There's no end. If you want 24 hours, you can chant. Try that from today. There's no stop. Unlimited supply Krishna can give you. Pleasure. Because one of the name of Krishna is Govinda. What does it mean? One who gives pleasure to the cows and the senses. How do the normal materialistic person derive the senses? With the eyes they see a form. With the ear they hear some sound vibration. With the tongue they taste. With the sense of touch, they enjoy so many things. Right? With the no smell. And in a tiny, insignificant way, you can enjoy the form, the smell, the touch. But if you slowly try to understand Krishna, in an unlimited way you can enjoy. So this is the power of Krishna consciousness. Right? Now, Srila Prabhupada, at the age of almost 69, 70, he came here not to make up a business contract with America and Australia and a worldwide institution. That's not his approach. Very serious matter with life. He has come at the age of 69, leaving Vrindavan, to teach all of us about Krishna consciousness. Very, very important thing in life. To understand that you are not this body but spirit soul. You are the person living in the body but not the body. See, we have a house. We live in the house. Are you the house? No, you are not the house. You have a car. You drive the car. Are you the car? No. You have the body. You use your body. Are you the body? No. This is the logic Krishna is using. Because you use something, does it mean that you own it? No, you are using it. So this logic of Krishna consciousness, how it works is, use that body for Krishna service. You have a body. And who gave you a body? In the material world, whatever you want, right, you have to get it. You have to earn for it. So did you earn your body? Who gave you this body? It came like this. The material energy. Krishna says, Yanta Rudaya Mayaya. The material energy has given you the body. And you are part of the Lord. So what are you? You are zero basically. The body is given by the material energy. Your gross body and senses. And you are part of Krishna. What is that false ego? Where is it coming from? I and mine. It is the material energy, false ego, it's creating. Everything is I and mine. It is an illusion. This world is Lord's illusory energy, Lord's cheating energy, Lord's deluding energy. See? In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, later on, it is said, the living entity is transcendental to the material existence. He is a soul, right? But as long as a living entity has a tendency to lord over the material energy, to enjoy, then what happens? His material existential condition continues like a dream. It never stops, it never leaves. If you go after material energy, it catches you. It will never leave you. That is how it works. Right? It continues like a dream and is put into all sort of disadvantages. You call it. So one should be detached from the three modes. It's a very serious matter. Right? It's a serious matter. One, you should spend his lifetime to get detached from three modes. And the detachment from three modes is not that easy. But attachment to Krishna is easy. If you get attached to Krishna, then naturally you detach from the material energy. See, in the previous yugas, right, the process is detachment from matter, attachment to the soul, spirit. That was the previous, all the three yugas. But here, who has got the time to detach from the matter? We don't have enough time. You take a flight to Malaysia and you will be dead. You will be underneath the Atlantic Ocean. You're finished. The driver will happily drive you. Don't worry. I will take you. The sharks want some food. They want some khichdi. All of you, please, you know, serve the shark. That's what, you know, he do. So where is the question of your time, you know? There's no time for you. So kindly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and given this process of Sankirtana Yajna movement. So what it means is, just to be attaching to Krishna, completely spiritual, you are detaching from matter. See the logic? Before, you have to, you know, detach from matter, detach from matter, detach from matter, and then slowly you know there is a spirit soul. And then you have got three. Then you have got three ways. What are the three ways? One, you can know the impersonal Lord, that the Lord is light. And the second way is to understand that Lord is a person inside the heart. That's it. You know? And you go after mystic siddhis. And the third one is Bhagavan. That understanding is very, 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 very difficult. Bhagunam janmanam ante jnanavanma prapattete vasudeva sarvamiti samatma sudurlabh. After many, 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 many lifetimes, one comes to the conclusion that Krishna is everything. But that understanding can be very easily be gotten. You can get that by meeting a pure devotee of the Lord. He transfers that knowledge to you. And it's very easy to understand. So that is why how serious mission Srila Prabhupada had with him, and then he transferred to all of us. Very serious mission, you know. Many people, you know, leave India to come to Australia or something to start business. To make some pumps and screws and, you know, nuts and bolts. To tighten something, head or something. But Prabhupada, selfless service is not selfish service. Selfless. To give Krishna consciousness. To know that you are not this body. But spirit soul. How many of us know this education? Right? Know the knowledge and practice this Krishna consciousness. So here, this is a brief introduction. Before we go, let's go. Okay, the Lord, we have material senses, but how can we see the Lord? Because it's adokshasa, right? So the Lord is completely transcendental. We have got material senses, right? So if you cannot see the Lord, but if one offers devotional service, then the Lord gives understanding to understand Him. So material thing, right? It's all your choice. I want a house in Albert Park. My house color should be blue in the dining hall. It should be red in the kitchen. It should be yellow in the bathroom. That's your choice. No problem. But if you understand Krishna, you have to come to Him. You can do whatever choices you want with your material life. You've got no way connected. But to understand Krishna, you have to come and do devotion service to Him. Loving devotion service. Not just throwing things at Him. Loving devotion service. Love. Krishna is a love God. He's not a stone or anything. Because what is shortage for Krishna, you know? Lakshmi Sahasra Satasram Brahma Sevya Manam. Millions of Lakshmis are serving. Krishna does not want your small pakoda or your small frozen pizza. He does not want it. But if you give with love, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tataham bhakti upahartam asnami prayatam. With love if you give Him, the Lord will take. He wants only love from you, unconditional love. He does not want anything from you, not your bank balance. But He will be happy if you give it to Him. So by devotion service only you can understand Krishna. Okay. Now, knowledge is perceived material sense. Because the Lord is not an object that can be understood by speculation with the material senses. He is also ajita. Okay. So, speculation, Srila Prabhupada is saying. Now, before we start, sorry. I have to tell you what this chapter is. This chapter, which is just a quick introduction so that we know where we are. This chapter, which is chapter 21, conversation between Manu and Kardama, it's got about 57 text verses, right? Just a quick introduction. Now, verse number, for those of you, verse number 33. Did all of you come for all the 33 verses and attending Srimad Bhagavatam every day? Anyone, please raise your hands up. No, we missed out, isn't it? Right? Any response? Did all of you attend all the 33 verses from 1 to 33 every day? Anyone? I think living entities, souls will respond. Stones don't respond. So there's no response. Right? So probably, you know, after becoming, all have become like stones, I think. Right? Did anyone attend or not? No one attended. Okay, that's good. Now, so we'll see what is the text, you know. So text number 1 to 6 is where Vithura inquires about the lineage descending from Swayambhuva Manu. So this is a question answer session. Vithura is asking Maitreya, and within that, you know, the conversation between Manu and Kardama is going on, right? So the first is, this is how it come up. So Vithura is inquiring to Maitreya Muni about the lineage of Swayambhuva Manu. Okay, he was a Manu at that time. Now Swayambhuva Manu, interesting, has a lifespan of 71 Yuga life cycles, right? What is the life cycle of us? We are in Kali Yuga, in one Yuga, and in that Yuga, we live for maybe 72 and a half years. Probably. Or maybe 67 and a quarter years. Because no one dies exactly at 67 years. There is some time after birthday, they die, or before birthday. So that is our lifespan. Swayambhuva Manu lifespan, first of all, understand whom we are talking about. Sometimes in the university, they'll talk, you know, this is, you know, all this, and they talk. They don't give any reference, you know, they don't understand. First, we are talking about, we are not talking about Supreme Lord. We are talking about one small personality employed by the Supreme Lord to manage the universal affairs. And he is Swayambhuva Manu. And his lifespan is 71 Yuga life cycles. You know what I mean? Which means Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali. That is one cycle. He will live for 71 life cycles. Who wants that kind of lifestyle? You can keep on live with your husband and wife and have children and keep on living happily for 71 Yuga life cycle. But you have to die. That is how it is. Swayambhuva Manu lifespan. Such a long lifespan. Okay? In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. So he is one Manu. Now we are at the 50th age of Brahma, which is seventh Manu. Yeah? So, okay. Now text number 7 to 12 talks about Kardama Muni devotional austerities evoke the Lord's appearance. So Kardama Muni meditated for how many years? 10,000 years. And then he got the darshan of the Lord, Supreme Lord, which is the goal of life. Then, text number 13 to 21 talks about Kardama Muni offers the Lord prayers. Then 22 to 33, the Lord responds to Kardama Muni. That's what we are at. And the Lord is leaving now. Okay. Then 34 to 38 is, the Lord fulfills his word. Whatever Krishna says, he will fulfill. Whatever we say, we don't know. We may or we may not, according to the circumstances, right? We will say one thing, probably at that time I told, I forgot, I don't. But Krishna fulfills his word. He will never deviate from his word because he's Supreme Bhagavan. And then 49 to 57, Kardama Muni meets King Swayambhuva Manu. Krishna said, don't worry, Swayambhuva Manu will come and give a daughter to you. And it has happened. Devahuti. Very, very powerful person. Alright? So that is the background. Right? So that is right here. After the law, the sage, which is Kardama Muni, he saw Lord Vishnu. Then the Lord is departing. So this is a scenario now. Alright. So speculation. So mental speculation came up. That's what I thought. Okay. Now there are two processes for understanding the Lord. Or understand, Vedic scripture tells you two processes. One is the ascending process, to know Krishna, right? The Supreme Bhagavan or spirituality, whatever you call it, Krishna conscious. The second one is a descending process, right? Now, ascending process, what is that? Ascending process, it's known as inductive logic. By speculation, you try to understand. Maybe this, maybe not. Oh, my father died. My grandfather died. They became old. They had disease. So birth, death, old disease. Yeah, it's there. True. Maybe. Then where do they go when they die? You know, speculation. They may not know, you know, like that. That is inductive knowledge, logic. That is known as ascending process. You are trying to understand something on your own. And what's the problem with that? On your own? On your own, there are four kinds of defects in the material world. What are the four kinds of defects? Imperfect senses, to commit mistake, to cheat and to get cheated, and to be illusioned. You are already thinking you are the body. That itself is a wrong platform. You are thinking you are coming to the temple, but you are going to the movie. Wrong platform. Starting problem. Okay? So four kinds of defects are there. Now with that defects, can you understand? Whoever may be, even the president of US, you cannot understand. Because the logic itself is wrong. You are trying to understand the president, is he got five legs, you know, or three eyes, something like that. You are speculating. But if the president says, see, look at me, I've got only two eyes. Yeah, okay, two eyes. So this is a speculative process. That is known as ascending. The second one is a descending process where Krishna spoke to Bhagavad Gita. Krishna spoke to Arjuna Bhagavad Gita. He said, see, I am like that. Don't, you know, attraction between senses and sense object is a great source of misery. Krishna says that. And then Krishna says, you are not this body, but you are spirit soul. And there's a yoga system. He's saying mind can be a friend or enemy. Always bring back the mind under the control of the self. Then he talks about devotion service. He says, always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me. Offer obeisances to me. See? He is speaking. So we follow exactly that. We are doing what Krishna is saying. But the question is, we have not seen Krishna. But Brahma has seen Krishna. Face to face. Because of the creation, Brahma has to get the knowledge from Krishna. So what is our parampara? Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, parampara. So it's coming from Brahma. There are four paramparas. One coming from Brahma, one coming from Lord Shiva, one coming from Lakshmi Devi, and one coming from the sons of Brahma. So they all seen Krishna. Correct? Lord Brahma has seen. Four Kumaras have seen. They want to Vaikuntha. Then Lord Shiva has seen. And then Lakshmi Devi. Did she see? She saw. Wife. So all see. Four have seen Krishna. So they are giving the process. So is it right or wrong? So what is the doubt? It's coming. This is known as descending process. And finally, it has come to Jagat Guru Prabhupada and it's coming, flowing to us. You are there, lucky. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just gone. His commander-in-chief, Srila Prabhupada, has established a movement and we have to just follow it. What's the problem? Simply follow it. And that inductive process is based on facts. It's not speculation, right? Brahma says, I've seen the Lord. He's like this. He's wearing yellow garment. He's wearing a Vaijayanti mala flower. See? No. Maybe how the flower will become dry, no? Because when you put Farada Balabha, the next day it becomes dry. How can Krishna put a garland and which is always fresh? Something wrong. This is speculation. Right? How can Krishna put a garland? It's always fresh. Isn't it? Yes? No? It's always fresh. Because he's Yogeshwara Govinda. He's a, he can do anything he wants. If he wants, Krishna can immediately... See, all the people, what's our big problem? Who can say this, answer correctly? What is our biggest problem? So it looks like no one has got problem, only I have got problem. Because everyone has got no problem, correct? They are all fixed up devotees. What is our greatest problem? Mind. Mind. It will mind you. That is mind. Mind means it will mind you. So mind is the greatest problem. Okay? We want to chant, then the mind will go, what is it? Oh, chanting. I will do the chanting later. You know? Oh, yesterday I chanted 16 rounds. Today, you know, just give a break. What is this, Krishna? Too much demanding. Correct? Mind is the biggest problem. Now, if Krishna wants, what he can do? What mind means? What material energy? Maya. What Krishna can do is, immediately he can take you out and put it into a spiritual energy. And imagine, you will be jumping, love of Godhead. There's no problem for you. The problem is created in the material world. Right? See, all the problems, suffering, exists in the material energy. There's no problem in the spiritual energy. You name it, there's no problem. Birth, death, old age, disease, adibhautik, adiatmik, adidev. Seven kinds of problems is imposed on the living entity because they are attached to the material energy. If you leave the material energy and come to the spiritual energy, there is no problem for you. No worries. But you are attached to the material energy. You are saying, you are attached to the, leave me, leave me, leave me. You have to take your hand. It's a material energy. But to leave someone, hold me, leave me, leave me. You have to leave it. You leave the material energy and come to the spiritual energy, you are always happy. There's no suffering. There is no suffering in the spiritual energy. This is spiritual energy. Is there any suffering? People are experiencing any suffering? All your suffering will go away. But it will come the moment you step out. Don't worry. Mind is waiting. Okay. Come on, come on. Now you are on the spiritual platform. You are beyond me. Because Krishna gives hierarchy in the chapter 3 of Bhagavad Gita. The sense object, senses. Above senses is a mind. Above mind is an intelligence. Above intelligence is a soul. So a person who is Krishna conscious, he can see all the things. Okay, I am a soul. Behind me is my mind. Sorry, my intelligence. Oh, behind me is my mind. Oh, behind, okay, beneath is my senses. Oh, that sense object is there. Why am I attracted to that? Krishna is above there. So Krishna gives hierarchy. Lord, then soul. A person who is not Krishna conscious, he is in the mind. He always looks up, oh soul. But a person is Krishna conscious, he knows the hierarchy. Yes, intelligence is below me. I am the soul. And the mind is below me. Right? So I will not listen. What's the problems of the mind? There are three big problems created by the mind. Right? First is, mind is a big imaginator. It imagines, oh, Krishna conscious, very hard. Do not do that. Oh, devotees are too much. They go immediately, they catch you. They say, chant Krishna's name. And they will say, put tilak. Oh, this is too much. Right? Devotees to mind, imagine it. It is not that. The soul is a part of Krishna. The soul is not artificial. It's completely spiritual, fragmental part. The soul can be happy only in union with Krishna. Everything else is maya. But the opposite maya, mind tells you, no, don't do too much devotion service. Then your material life, oh, you will not get a job. No, no, don't do too much. Mind is imaginative. Two, mind is selective. It wants only that much. I don't want the rest. For example, people who are drinking, right? They know if I drink, I have a hangover. Right? So what they do? They think only drinking side, the hangover side they lose. Like a cigarette smoker. He knows to smoke, but he doesn't know that there's a cross-linked polymer forming in the windpipe. You know cross-linked polymer? That is a plastic. You cannot break a plastic, right? It's very strong. Not the Indian plastic. Indian plastic, if you carry that dammal, it put it, it will finish. But this cross-linked polymer, it doesn't break. Like the boats and all that, you know. Fiber reinforced plastic, FRC, FFC. So, this is forming. But a smoker, his mind is selective. He thinks only about smoking, that part. Like a mind, we know. We want a good wife, but the wife should be, you know, listen to us. Selective. Like I want a good husband, he should earn that, but he should not question me. Very selective. It's not going to happen. Krishna conscious is the whole picture. Right? So that's the second problem of the mind. What's the third problem of the mind? The third problem of mind is mind can impel, it cannot compel. See? Mind can show you beautiful things. Eh, there is a house. This is a good person for you. And that is a good car for you. This is a suitable lady for you. It can only say, but it will not force you. See? It is up to us to accept or not. Right? Mind cannot say, come on, take it, take it. It can force you. For example, you know, if someone forced me, you know, Prabhu, take, you know, take two jamuns, three jamuns, four jamuns. I said, no, I don't want. I'm not accepting it. But okay, put it on the plate. That's all. Plate is there. When you accept, you have, within 2 years, you have diabetic. Because karma, you are responsible for your action. Krishna says, I am neutral. You are responsible. See? Mind is beneath the intelligence. So mind can only impel. It cannot compel you. Right? It will show you fancy things. You reject. I don't want. So one, how do you do that? One should be very expert in rejecting the orders of mind. It's not easy. One should practice that. Along with Krishna consciousness, we have to practice so many things. Mind will say, I want it. Just ignore it. Neglect. Neglect the mind. Right? You, one should be very, very experienced in rejecting the orders of mind. Then one will be very successful in Krishna consciousness. Because the mind is the one that says, go there, go here, do this. Very expert, that comes by practice. It's not easy. One has to read. Just ignore the mind. Like a small child, you know. I want. Just ignore it. Then they'll keep quiet. They'll go to the next one. The mind is like that. It keeps on moving, you know. If you don't ignore the mind, it goes to the next object. Okay, I don't want the shoes, but I want a car. Okay, you don't give me a car, I want a jacket. I don't want a jacket, but I want a book, you know. This is how the mind, you know, keeps on. Just ignore. And then soon mind will say, okay, you're not going to get me anything. What do you want me to do? Chant. Okay, come on, then chant. Train the mind. Krishna says, the mind can be the best friend or worst enemy. What does Krishna mean by best friend? Oh, if there is a job for 100K, if your mind should work hard, you get 120K, that's your mind is a friend, is it? No. If the mind is not allowing you to do devotion service, it's your enemy. That is Krishna's word. If your mind, at any point in time, in a day, if it tells you, I should not do devotion service, then it's your enemy. So Srila Prabhupada says, the mind should be trained in such a way that 24 hours devotion service. It's the mind that's creating problem. It's the mind that's diverting. It's not the soul. The soul wants to, see, Krishna is there, soul is there. In between, the mind is coming and putting a lot of obstacles. No, don't go to Krishna, don't go to Krishna. Throw the mind out. Then that's the connection established. And for that, you need Krishna's help. That is why Maha Mantra means great. Maha means great. Man means mind. Tra means to deliver. Do you want the mind to deliver? Don't. Sometime I want mind, material energy. So don't chant. If you want the mind to deliver and free, without problems, always happy, then just chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama. Simple process. It's not complicated. For a complicated person, it's very complicated. For a simple person, very simple, Krishna consciousness, very simple. Only first few years in a problem and then once you establish. The mind will say, okay, whatever you do. Okay? Then, so the problem is the mind, which is the root cause of all problems. Okay, I just wanted to just tell this one quick story, which I thought, you know, in the Rama's pastime, how one may think, right, fine, we are doing devotion service, then what is it up to Krishna? It's only all the time we are giving to Krishna, you know. How do we know Krishna is reciprocating? Always we are wearing tilak, chanting his name, taking prasadam, you know. He is just a supreme autocrat. He is a demanding person, Krishna. Correct? All the time he wants. What is in it for me? What are you giving me back, Krishna? The question. The soul will not ask, but the mind will ask. Because the soul is natural position is fixed. Now, there is a small pastime in Ramayana. Some of you might know that. But anyway, worth discussing. Now what happens? This is the last stage of Ramayana where Vibhishna. How many of you don't know Ramayana? Oh, everyone. Everyone is Rama conscious. So this is the last stages, right? Where Vibhishna, the brother of Ravana, has surrendered to Lord Ramachandra. And Rama is already thinking in his mind, okay, you surrendered to me. You know, and so before that, when Vibhishna came to surrender, right, all the, you know, except Hanuman, right, all the other companions of Rama had some suspicion. Maybe, you know, he's not good. He's a brother of Ravana. He has come here as a spy and all that. Then finally the Lord said, no. He has come for surrender. Whoever surrender doesn't matter, he said. When they surrender, I will protect them. That's what Krishna says his statement in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parikshaksha, right? If whoever surrenders, right, I will protect them. Do not fear. This is Lord's mission. Whether it's Rama or Narasimha Bhagavan or Krishna, that is Lord's mission. So the Lord accepted him and the Lord had plans in his mind. Okay, Vibhishna surrendered. He's a Kshatriya. He cannot do full devotional service to me. Alright. But he needs a job. Okay, I'll give a kingdom to him. Okay. So after, anyway, Ravana is going to die. The Lord has decided. So he will die. After Ravana dies, I will give the kingdom, Lanka, to Vibhishana. Right? That's the Lord's plan. And everything has to go as per the Lord's plan. Right? It will not go as per our plan, is it? When the Lord desires, it will have to manifest. It will happen. Whatever our plans, mostly it will not happen. Only a few percent will happen. So out of our plans, right, 90% of our plans will not happen, unfortunately. I'm sorry to say this. Maybe 10% may work. It's a bad news, but you have to know that. So the Lord said, okay, I've decided to give Lanka to Vibhishana. Okay. Now, during the last stages, Ravana is losing all the, his companions, his family members and all that, one by one. Only Ravana is left now and his wife of Mandodari. Then, even the previous day he was defeated. So, the last day is preparing. At that time, Sukri is approaching Rama and is saying, Lord, Ravana is already defeated, you know, defeated so many times. What if he changes his mind and he comes and surrenders to you? What will happen? The Lord is very kind. Lord said, okay, if Ravana surrenders to me, I will accept him. No problem. See, I cannot reject anyone. Whoever surrenders at my lotus feet, it is my, you know, mercy to give them protection. I will never reject them, Lord said. Because they are surrendering at my lotus feet. Then immediately, Sugriva was asking a question, Lord, if Ravana surrenders, what will you do? You have already promised the Lanka to Vibhishana. What will you give to Ravan? Okay, I promise, isn't it? Okay, I'll give Ayodhya to Ravana. Lord is giving his planet, Ayodhya, to Ravana. Then Anga. Anga is the son of Vali. He said, Lord, you have promised Ayodhya to Bharat. How can you give Ayodhya? You promise. Oh, yes, I promise. Okay, I'll give my Vaikuntha to Bharat. Then Sugriva and Anga, both of them said, Lord, where will you live? Then the Lord looked at Hanuman. Hanuman, I don't want any place. I want to live in the core of the heart of my devotees. I don't know anything but my devotees. My devotees, they don't know anything but me. I don't want a place. Hanuman said, yes, Lord. I think that's the incident where Hanuman, you know, opens and Lord Ramachandra is there with Mother Sita. So this is the Lord we are dealing, the Supreme Bhagavan. He gives himself to you if you surrender to him. This is the process of Krishna consciousness which Srila Prabhupada has given us. It's pure and genuine and completely experiential. You can experience that. It's not a, you know, talking and going away. One can experience. All right. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. Any comments, questions, corrections? Sorry, I didn't hear your question. Good question. Yeah, I didn't clarify that. I spoke about the point and then deviated. Right? Now, even though, my point is, even though they're material, there is an installation ceremony, you know. What happens at the time, the Lord agrees to come into the deity form. Lord can go anywhere. See, what is a material creation? Lord Vishnu has got three forms, right? One he enters into the, one is a Mahavishnu, where he creates a lot of universe. He doesn't create the universe and leave it. He enters as Garbhadakashai Vishnu in each of the universe. And not only that, he creates a lot of items, Krishna. The stone, trees. In each of them he enters as Siradakashai Vishnu. Okay? He is Yogeshwara Govinda. He can do anything. So during the installation ceremony, which was done by his divine grace Prabhupada, if Prabhupada, all he has to do is, Krishna, can you kindly please enter? Gauranitha is already there. So even though it's a material, if a pure devotee invokes the Lord, he enters. Now this is no longer a brass. I gave an example. Sorry. Thanks for correction. So this is now Nithai Gaura. They are not brass now. They are living personality because they accept everything. If you touch the lotus feet, they accept. This is how we say Mahaprasadam, right? Which you guys can have. Puri, upstairs. The Lord has eaten. This Lord has eaten. And the Mahaprasadam will be served. Likewise, our Radha Vallabha is the Supreme Personality Himself. There's no difference between Radha Vallabha and Krishna. He's Supreme Personality. Likewise, our Jagannath, even though he is not wood now, he's Lord Himself. If you poke him and see, you'll get the feeling. How can a wood has got? Because he's agreed. He's agreed to come into the deity form. And okay. Say for example, if this Prabhu is calling me home. Not that you have to call me. but he's giving me food, you know. Because I've accepted the offer, I have to eat whatever he gives me. Right? Very Prabhu. In the same way, when I am a tiny, insignificant soul, when I can accept something, the supreme authority, autocrat Krishna, he can do anything he wants. We cannot do whatever we want. Krishna can do. So this Lord has agreed to come into the form. So he is accepting food. But there is the rules and regulations. Right? If I don't like someone, I'm not going to accept from you. Right? Say for example, I don't like you. You're trying it. I will try to hesitate. It's okay, I'll take it later, you know, some excuse. But the Lord has agreed, so he will take it. So if there is a procedure followed, then the Lord likes it. So that is how we have a process. There's initiation, Brahmin initiation, right? So the Lord knows, oh, who's the pujari today? Okay, all right. Okay, here, okay, all right. You know, he knows, you know. So the Lord accepts. Is it clear? So it's a personality now. I just gave an example, reference point. But even though they're made now, now they are no longer. Gauranitha is no longer brass. Radha Ballabha is no longer stone. And Jagannath Baladeva Subhadra is no longer wood. They are persons. There are 3 + 2 = 5, 7 people living there. Living there. Not standing there, living. They're eating. They're dressing. They're seeing. So if you go and stand there, see, Nithai and Gaura is looking at us. They're doing their job. They're eating. They're sleeping. They're dancing. You know? The devotees are dancing. How soul
can give direction to the intelligence to do only those activities which are favorable in Krishna consciousness and which are not favorable? I suppose you are busy in the job, you have to direct your mind to do the good job so that boss can be happy.
Okay, see, right. See, right now, in our condition, the soul is sleepy. Right? The soul has passed on the job. For example, the president of US is sleeping. He will not use it. He will not have any rules now. He will not lay down any rules. He's sleeping. He's ineffective as long, like a dead person. The president is alive, but he's sleeping in the night. So he will not pass any rules. So he's ineffective. But he's still the president, right? But when he wakes up in the morning, he'll say, pass an order that tomorrow onwards the tax is raised to 80%. He can do that, right? So in the same way, for us, at this stage, the soul is sleeping. Deep sleep. Right? So what is happening? The only force of the soul is through the mind. So the soul has given the designation to the mind. So the mind is moving around. So the soul is sleeping. You understand? The only way the soul has to come out through the body is through the mind. And your mind is all filled with filthy things, you know. Then the mind drives. It's a driver. So it drives you. Go and see the movie. Drink alcohol. All the drives. So Krishna says, the mind can be the best friend or worst enemy. Control your mind. So we start controlling the mind. How do you control the mind? Mind is subtly inside. You can't even touch the mind. But you have to control the mind. How do you do that? Yeah, that is the chanting is there. But it's through how? Through your senses. That is why we have got gross senses. I can touch my lips. I can touch my nose, right? They're all gross senses. All these senses is going inside the mind. The mind takes everything through the eyes. It's perceiving. If you see something, mind is recording. If you hear something, mind is recording. So how do you change the mind? By only seeing Krishna's form. By only eating prasada, by only chanting Krishna's name, by only hearing about Krishna, only touching Krishna. You're not touching materialistic people. You're only touching Krishna. Then your senses are all purified. then the mind is purified. Right? Now the input is through the gross senses. See how Krishna's way of, you know, setup of this body, right? There is a gross senses, there are 10 senses, 5 knowledge occurring senses and 5 working senses. So the knowledge occurring senses, whatever knowledge occurring senses, if you keep on feeding Krishna, then what happens? The mind, internal mind is subtle, you know, it will change. But if you keep on feeding, you know, all the rubbish, then the mind will be rubbish. You know what I mean? So through the sense, that's why senses is a gross body and the mind is a subtle body. So the gross body and the subtle body both have to be purified. Then only you know that you are the soul. Krishna says, even one of the roaming senses, if it is not controlled, it will take the boat away from the river. It will sweep you out. So all the senses should be checked and should be used in Krishna's service. It's a gradual process, but slow and sure process. Is that it? Explain, yeah?
Yeah. Guru, what's the full complete definition of devotional service? Is chanting only a part of devotional service? Or devotional service means something like devotees? Like Ramchari stay in a temple and they do 24/7 service in the temple only. And there are guests who do jobs and they just chant in the mosque. So,
very good question, but yeah. It's this high the question is very high caliber question. See, that is where consciousness comes in. See, what's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? See, when I go to work, right? Yeah, I also wear a dress. I'm not wearing tilak. I'm wearing shoes. Just an example, right? I am also eating. My colleague, my boss is also eating. Right? I am also seeing, he is also seeing. He is a person, he is a man, I am also a man. But what's the difference? The activities are different. For me, I offer to the Lord, and I am, the Lord is my enjoyer. For him, he is an enjoyer. Anything, you know, I want to buy a house for my family. I want to buy a car for me. What do you think of this? This is my suggestion. Everything is a center. Right? In our case, you know, we take prasadam offered to Krishna, we take. In the car, when we go, we put lectures or whatever. Or chant. Whatever. Chanting is not ideal, but sometimes, you know, put there, you know. Right? And then Krishna is a center for the devotees. For the non-devotees, they are the center. So the material energy traps them. Bewilder them, basically, you know. As long as your senses are not used in Krishna service, the mental energy will bewilder and trap you. It will never leave you. So the moment you serve Krishna, material energy automatically leaves you, hands off. You do not have to do anything. Become a devotee. Then slowly the material energy will leave you. You can feel it. All the senses are engaged in Krishna. You can know, all of us will know that. It is not a big thing, you know. You don't need a PhD to know that. Correct? Correct? Slowly the material energy will leave you. You will know that. Once you go to the spiritual energy. But if you don't take up Krishna conscious, the material energy is like that. Let us see. Who wins? Because we are tiny and the material energy is very powerful. We are tiny souls. That is our swarupa. Tiny. But because of the false ego, the big personality, we think. Tiny. So material energy, like a tsunami, it will wrap you up. What are you thinking? But if you are in Krishna, the material energy is a servant of Krishna. So you'll say, oh, my boss is Krishna, better. This guy is no good. Go to the next guy. See? Whoever is not Krishna conscious. Then they will keep on harassing, you know. This is material energy. Like a prisoner, right, in the olden days. They will dip him in the water and then he will say, okay, no, no. Again, dip him in the water. This is what material energy does to you. Keep on punching. Why do we want that lifestyle? Just become a devotee. Simple. All problems solved. Because Krishna says, always think of me. That we cannot do. Become a devotee. You can't do that. Worship me, please. You can't do that. Offer your obeisances. In that way, you know that I am superior. Who will tell this? The Lord can say. Is it okay, Prabhu? You got a question? No, that's okay. Now what happens is, difference you said, right? The difference happens only in the mental energy. According to Krishna, we are all spirit soul. Krishna does not differentiate. He says, okay, you are engaged in mental energy, you are engaged in spiritual energy. Right? Now, that is what it is. There's no difference in the spiritual energy. Pandita Samadarshana. A learned Brahmana, he sees a cow, a dog eater, an elephant, and a... And who is the other one?
Chandala.
All same. He sees a spirit soul and Paramatma inside. So the differentiation is only in the mental energy by the mind. Because the mind is mental energy. Okay? That is the second part of your question. First part is, yes, you cannot see Krishna with your material eyes. But because of the Lord's grace, you have to understand Krishna only by His grace. So by chanting, your tongue becomes spiritual. By seeing, your eyes become spiritual. That not immediately you can see Krishna. Then when the eyes is completely spiritual, you can see Krishna there, talking to you. But we are not at that stage. Right? Because what happens is, the subtle body, right? The soul has got an eye. Is it clear? The soul is a person. The soul has got eyes. The soul has got nose. The soul has got ear. Okay? The soul, that is known as subtle eye, subtle ear. And we have got a grass. So this grass is connected to the subtle soul and then to the soul, basically. The soul is a form, you know. It's not a soul is, when Krishna says it's a fragmental part, it doesn't mean a fragment. It's got a body, shape. Because a body is like an external dress, you know. See, right now my jumper looks like my size, you know. If that Prabhu wears, it'll become thin. If someone else bigger, it will become low. So the jumper is the same. So the soul is a person, depending upon, you know, the body is different, but it's got a inherent, the soul has got eyes. And then we have got a gross body. Because we chose to enjoy the material energy, we are given gross body, material body, right? So through the material body, the soul can see and all that, right? See, sometimes we can see the experiences, someone's hand may be cut, okay? But still, when you ask him, take that, he will go first like this. Then he realizes, oh, I don't have a hand. So the soul has got a hand. He has got a feeling, but he does not have an arm. The soul, sometimes, you know, when you close your eyes, okay, you can see a form. How are you going to see a form? Have you anyone experienced? Sometimes you close your eyes. Say, for example, you see Gaur Nithai for about 10 minutes, right? And you close. That form will come. How can you see something when your eyes are closed? So this is a subtle, the soul has got a eyes that can see. Now what happens? You have got a material eyes, material nose, all this material ears. By constantly involving in Krishna's chanting, seeing Krishna and eating prasadam, slowly the senses become spiritual. An example always Srila Prabhupada gives, like an iron rod kept in fire. Right? An iron rod is iron rod. But when you keep it in fire, after many hours, the iron rod becomes like fire. So when all the senses are engaged in Krishna's transcendental service, loving devotional service, then eyes become spiritual, nose becomes spiritual. Then what happens? When you die, this gross body is burnt and you get a beautiful Satchitananda spiritual body. There you can serve Krishna, you can talk to Krishna, you can hear what Krishna is saying. Now if there are some spiritual personality, they can hear Radharani and Krishna talking. Do anyone hear anything? No? That means we are not spiritual yet. Because they will be always talking. Gaur and Nithai, do you think they always stand? They are saying, okay, this pujari, I don't know what he's going to do. Okay, but sometimes we can't hear. Again, he's doing it. Oh, give some love to me, you know, they say. You know, all. Right? So when you have the spiritual ear, you can hear what they tell you. Then you can correct yourself. But there is a work we have to do. Some people come and they run away at the same speed. No, you have to stick on to Krishna. Stick on. Devotees don't relinquish the lotus feet of Krishna. Once you see the lotus feet, that's it. Go and attach. No question of going back. That's it. You got the highest, you know. You got the biggest jewel. Why do you want to run for some cheap necklace? So it's a gradual process. When Krishna wants to reveal, he will reveal to you. There's no point, you know, am I going to back to Godhead or not? Back to Godhead? Back to Godhead? When will I go? I'm 70 years back to Godhead? Back to Godhead? Krishna is saying, this fellow finished. Next 5 words for you. If Krishna wants, he will say, come on, you do arati for me. What do you want? Take my prasadam. Take my dress, you know. He can offer it to you. You know, back to Godhead, back to Godhead. He wants, you know. If Krishna says, oh, you are hopeless, one more birth for you. Accept. Devotees of Krishna, don't challenge him. Right? Chitraketu Maharaj, Parvati, Mother Parvati cursed. He is seeing Lord Vishnu. He is going back to Godhead. For sure. And little bit of some issue. So, Mother Parvati cursed him. Become Vitrasura. But that lifetime is going. Krishna does not want his devotees to leave along. Because he knows this is a material world. And Dukkalayam, Ashashvatam. They are suffering every second. The Lord only knows. But for us, in a Sukkalayam. So we will not know. The moment you know material world is suffering, the Lord says, come on. You have passed. You got 40 marks. Come up. You know. So the concept of Dukkalayam, Sukkalayam, Ashashvatam. Sukkalayam should change to Dukkalayam. Then you got a very good opportunity to go back. Because our house is there. This is illusory house. Right? Our reference point is always Vaikuntha. That's a reference point. This is just like a hotel, you know. If you are in a hotel, you don't keep on decorating. What is this? My house, my house. Hotel is a hotel. You are a tourist. You're going back. You're just leave. So it's just a temporary residence, you know. Temporary visa. Permanent resident is there. So that's a reference point. This, you do your job, you know. Not too many plans to, you know. Just passing phase, right? If you are traveling from Chennai to, or here also from, whatever maybe, from a train, you know, from Melbourne to Perth or something, you know. Some 5 days, 6 days travel. You don't, you know, decorate your, you know, your compartment with all this. Of course, a devotee decorates with Krishna. Washing and cleaning, cleaning the toilet. Oh, why the toilet is dirty, you know? You're a tourist. Just after 10 days, someone will come and dirty it. So the demon's trying to put so many things, material. I will want the road to be like this. And then someone else will come. Earthquake will come and all will go like Indonesia. What's the point? Big deal. So our reference point is always there. Brahmana means one who knows Brahma. That's his goal. Okay, Prabhu. We'll stop here. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai.